After these things, the word of the Lord came unto me in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, my corn is in my house, is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own house shall be thy heir. And he brought from him forth abroad, and said, Look now towards heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee the land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years, and a sheep goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each one piece against another. But the birds he divided not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away.
Yes, Jesus.
The message the Lord wants to tell us today: are we protecting our sacrifice? Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of truth that you've given today. And God, I'm asking for the unction to preach, the unction of the Holy Ghost to speak through me. God, purge these lips of clay. And God, let the anointing come forth through me as the vessel and conduit of your spirit, God, to speak to each and every heart, God. Let the dross be burned away as your spirit has flooded this place. And you have given us a word today, and I'm asking, God, that it will come prevalent in each and every heart, that we leave this house changed because you have spoken.
Yes.
God, let me be set aside, for I'm nothing. But God, with you, Lord God, we have something we must be said. And I'm asking, God, help me in this place as I bring forth this word to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. So the question is, do you protect what you sacrifice to the Lord? That might sound kind of interesting or kind of funny to some. But first of all, let's define what it means to protect something. I think we all understand to protect something is to keep that thing, whatever it may be, safe from harm,
right,
or injury. The first time I met Melissa, my wife, whenever I shook her hand, the oddest thing happened. She wasn't my wife at that time. But God said, protect her. For the next 45 minutes, she talked. I didn't hear a thing. I did not hear a thing. First time we met, the Holy Ghost was moving. He said, protect her. And I said, God, you see her? She's pretty bold.
Yeah.
Little preacher woman. But God said, protect her. And I sat there thinking, looking, trying to figure out what God was doing. We're all guilty of that sometimes, instead of distress.
Yes.
I had no idea 6 months later we'd be married. Now, that's been many years ago now, but, you know, as I thought of this myself, and I was thinking about those things, as time went on, I came to understand what the Lord meant. God was giving her to me as to protect that, what God had done in my life. As this was happening, we must protect what God has done in our lives and what we're going forward. So if something is important to you, you will protect it. Amen?
Yeah.
We're going to protect that. How important is the sacrifice that you made to the Lord? Well, what is it that you have sacrificed? Is it your will? Is it your life? Your desires? Your things? Why do I need to protect my sacrifice, Lord? Why is that? In the waiting, Abram believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. At sacrifice, there is time. There is time that's spent. It's not always easy, and most of us as humans, and we all are in this room, amen?
Yes, amen.
We don't like waiting at all. That's why we call fast food restaurants and drive-thrus and convenience stores.
Yeah.
And they're full, and there's more being built.
Yes.
every single day. We don't like to wait, but Abram believed. So in the believing, there was going to be time spent. Because believing doesn't just happen today, it's going to be a time. Amen? It's going to be a time of waiting for what was going to be counted for him as righteousness. It wasn't that time it was righteousness, but over time it became righteousness.
Right.
What God said, what I'm protecting, what God said, what did he say to you? Was it saying in prayer? Was it saying through the scripture that we were dealing with? And it came to pass as always, whatever God said from the beginning until now came to pass. You can look through the Bible from the Old Testament and you can realize that's history. There's without a doubt, it's proven scientifically that is history. All of it, and the New Testament as well. You can prove it out, and they have done that many times, so we know in the natural and what the world would see that this is a book of history, but it's also a spiritual book of truth, a living word that is ever changing in our hearts as we allow it to do. It will cleanse us as we should be watered by it daily. So the biblical sacrifice means giving to the Lord whatever he requires. We don't always like to do that. What he requires. How important do we make our sacrifice to the Lord, our time, our possession, our energies to further his work? We know that if we make Christ the most important in our life, everything else will follow.
Right.
Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Yes.
All these things.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
God is faithful.
But
he's also asking us to be faithful to the sacrifice that we give it to him. The act of sacrificing an animal or surrendering an animal for an offering to God paints the picture for us of the act of destruction or the surrender of something for the sake of something else. When you sacrifice something to God, it's not always easy, is it? Just like these Old Testament sacrifices pushing sin back, we come and we bring something to the altar. We talk to God and we say, yes, I commend this to you. I'm sacrificing this time, this will, this money, this whatever it may be that God's asking us to sacrifice. And you commit that to him. It's not always an easy task. But that is also proving the fact that whom I trust in and whom I love and whose purpose that I'm here for. This is something, I know it's hard in here, we're all a little sleepy, but God came in the house, so let's keep on moving. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, as we continue, the Old Testament sacrifices of animals are no longer what we do. Jesus was the final sacrifice. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. The blood that cleanses everything white as snow is no longer counted against you. It's cast from the east and the west. It's never to be counted against you. Once we believe in the grace of God. John 3:16 says, God sacrificed for our salvation. God himself sacrificed. He came down and sacrificed it all. Also, we know the scripture, and I say it many times, that we are to be sacrificed ourselves as a living sacrifice unto him. Dead to the world, but living to him. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died.
Yeah.
So what kind of sacrifices are we supposed to make? If they are important to us, we will protect them in our lives. Sacrifice of praise. You've been learning about that in this class. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We may not feel like it, and this morning I know it's hard to do, but he is worthy.
Yes.
He doesn't change. God changes not. God wants you and I to get past our feelings and realize he will come in and inhabit our praise. He wants to get past the feelings because the world will want to drag you into a place of feeling. How many of those feelings lie to you? Oftentimes, I call these liars. Your eyes of flesh are liars to you too, because what you see in the physical is not always truth in the spiritual.
Amen. That's right.
Oftentimes, we realize this once we get close to God, how we have looked at things are now dramatically different when we get into the spirit than when we're in the flesh.
Right.
And we all tend to have a fleshy moment here and there. I know that being sanctified in this house, we probably don't have any of those, but you know, I have some of those every once in a while. Sacrifice and commitment. Jonah 2:9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation as of the Lord. You may find yourself as Jonah sulking in what feels like the belly of a whale, not wanting or desiring to do what you committed to God. You been there?
Yeah.
You feel like you've been in the belly for 3 days? Well, I'm here to tell you, turn that fish into Uber. Get yourself on some dry ground and go ahead and do what God committed you to do. Because he's the rewarder of our faith.
Yes.
It's not about what it looks like and how dark it is. It's about who and what he is. He is going to bring us forth to a better place. He made that fish take Jonah to Nineveh. And then when he did what he did not want to do, because he didn't want to do his commitment, did he?
Right.
That's right.
But he got tattooed there anyway, didn't he?
Yes.
Then he got spit out on dry ground. Sure footing to go forward. Sacrifice and service, Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life as a ransom for many. Sacrifice of service. Go on. Takes self out of the equation. You know that's what that is. Sacrifice and service takes you out. When Jesus came to serve, to minister, he came, and that equation came out. All of us, as we are here for that purpose, is that we are here to serve God alone. For it is one body, for one purpose, that purpose to lift Jesus up, so all men would be drawn unto him. That is our purpose, is here on earth, as we as Christians, we proclaim the word of God, so whenever he is most in our life, when they look at me, I want them to see Jesus, because Jason has nothing to say. I don't have anything worth saying that is going to go past this tomorrow. But God has something to say eternally, and that is what is worth saying. We talk about Jesus, not us. If they see Jesus, they see eternity. But if they see us, it's just flesh. And tomorrow is forgotten. But the truth of who God is, as he is being lifted up, they will see something greater. May we be like him. May we continually draw unto him. Sacrifice of will, Luke 22:42 says, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
We must purpose in our hearts that God's will be done. That's easier said than done. And oftentimes we say this. Even in prayer, you may say, God's will be done. Here on earth and in my life, in this day, Lord, let thy will be done today in my life. But when it comes to that time, it's like, maybe I heard wrong, God. Can we do that tomorrow? We like to procrastinate a little bit. It's kind of me and diets. I like to do that tomorrow. I'm going to start eating right tomorrow. But too many times, we have committed this sacrifice, and yet, we have not protected what we have sacrificed to God. What promises we gave to God. What we have done is taken it away. Sacrifice of love. Even to the extent of sacrificing for those that hate you. In a world full of sin, in darkness, the light will shine the brightest. Amen? But oftentimes when we get in the real world, a lot of times we get out of this protection of the spirit, of protection of unity of your family that's all in this room. You get in the real world tomorrow and you're like, boy, it's dark.
Yeah.
Boy, they hate me. I'm a little bit afraid. I'm going to have boldness to talk about the Spirit of God and what he's done. Oftentimes, we've been pushed into a corner not to speak when it's time to speak. God will give us an opportunity to speak. You don't just go out there and word it out because they won't receive it. But if the Holy Spirit makes the way you speak in obedience, there is a time. There is a time. Right, brother? When you're in that ministry, you know there has to be a time. You may present the gospel and they may be a captive audience, but then again, they have a choice to listen or not listen. Whenever you see the Spirit moving, you're going to speak the word of truth, and therefore they will become fruit. For he is the one to add to the church daily. Amen?
Yes.
His church, not our church. Now, think about this. Jesus gave himself for people even when they were pulling his very beard out of his face. Historical record says this of the Jews, stating that pulling out of the beard of the condemned man before crucifixion was part of the humiliation carried out. I don't know about you, it hurts. It hurts. There's many times we've called it church hurt, family hurt, whatever it may hurt, but we're sacrificing our love. No matter what, I still love you. No matter how many daggers I have in my back, I still love you. No matter what you say to me, what you do to me, I still love you. As Jesus did, sitting between the two thieves at the cross, he saved one and the other decided he didn't want to be. He still saved even though he was bleeding and dying with a crown of thorns on his head. He still saved as he's still saving today, you and me. Love that surpasses our flesh. Sacrificing that love. Have we taken that aback and saying, God, I want your love? No, not that far, Lord. Did you know what they did to me?
Right.
Come on.
Yes.
Did you know what they did to me? They hurt me real bad. Did you see it, Lord? Maybe let me talk about it for just a moment a little longer. Maybe you didn't hear it, God. Maybe you didn't see it. Maybe I need to give God some glasses because he needs to go back and look at what I did. We need an instant replay, God, because I'm really, really hurt. No, he's not concerned about that. He's concerned about his love through you that forgives all. And then you go forward because there's a purpose and a plan for each and every one of our lives. And it's not to stay here, but it's to go there. Amen?
Amen.
That's a good place to applaud.
Amen.
Right there. Right there, God is worthy of that. He's worthy of our love. He is worthy that we should sacrifice our love as he sacrificed it. It's not always easy to love when somebody spits in your face. There will be those that you speak to and that you may even be prompted to speak of the gospel. I've heard it many times that someone that's bound in sin and they're wondering when someone comes up, oh, there's that Bible thumper. Gonna talk to me about Jesus again. But yet, when you are faithful and obedient, when the Spirit speaks to you to speak to them, that word penetrates. That doesn't mean they'll get saved at that moment, that they may not. But they'll go home and it will be nothing else on their mind. Because the Spirit is what draws us. And you and I and everyone else has freedom of choice. They can choose to be saved or not.
Amen.
It's not for you or I to decide which will be saved. We need to get that here right now. We need to know what's right. We have to be obedient. In our obedience, God will bring forth fruit. Not you or I. We have no power to do so. But in him,
yes,
they can be counted part of the church. If they choose him. Such a wonderful part to be part of God's kingdom.
Yes.
Sacrifice of love. What love. What amazing love that Jesus had.
Yes, he did.
When we focus on that in ourselves, our love fails miserably. Oftentimes, as the world dictates, that love is a sexual connotation, but that is not what love is. That is not it. How do I protect my sacrifice to the Lord? We read in Genesis 15 that when the birds of the air came swooping in on Abraham's sacrifice, Abraham was watching his sacrifice. Watching and waiting. He was aware that there was an enemy. And the Bible says that he drove the thing that was trying to steal his sacrifice away. The Roman woman, let me speak, I'm going to say it again. The woman, Rizpah, did the same thing when her sons were sacrificed as a sort of political peace offering for her past wrongs. She stayed beside that sacrifice and she would not allow the vultures or the wild animals to touch her precious children that were important to her. Once sacrifice has been made, the enemy will immediately try to swoop in with feeling of regret over the sacrifice. Come on. Immediately, what I've sacrificed to the Lord, he'll immediately come in and try to bring regret into that. The ravens of regret picking away at what you have sacrificed to the Lord, telling you it's not worth it. The cost is too high. You could have bought this if you hadn't given to the Lord. You could have went there if you didn't go to church. You could have had a fuller life if you had more me time. Your family would be better and closer if you just made Sundays family day. The ravens coming down and saying, trying to take away the sacrifices, what we promised of the Lord. We said we'd go to the house of the Lord. We said we would give. We said we would go. We said we would speak on his behalf because he's going to work through you and I. But yet, they're sitting here swooping down, trying to take the sacrifice away. And what are we doing to protect that action sacrifice? Are we sitting there laying away? Or are we laying to the side going to sleep of what we have sacrificed? But we know the truth, that there is a lying enemy telling us and tempting us. The ravens try to take what we have sacrificed to the Lord, so Satan gets the glory, not God.
Right.
Who gets the sacrifice gets the glory. Hello?
Yeah.
Letting the enemy get into our minds is letting the ravens take our sacrifice from the altar. Our promises to God are no longer truths, but they become regret and condemnation. The enemy comes in and lies, telling us to focus on what you have sacrificed, getting you to buy into the lie that is too much. It's what you sacrificed. Look what you've given up. But look what you've gained. You've gained eternity with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You have actually been able to be a part of a kingdom that will never fall. It's something from its greater. The enemy kind of takes you want to keep your mind on earthly things that will burn and perish. But God's saying, I've got something greater for you. There's a purpose in the sacrifice. There's a place that we're going. It'll be eternity with me. So this time, which is just a vapor, will pass. But God wants someone to know that he wants you protect what you offered him.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Years ago, when I was a child, my brother Alex, he's 2 years older than me. We've always been very, very close. I was about probably 9, 10 years old. And I earned, I think I had about $2. And back then, that was a lot of money. I thought I wanted to buy my bigger brother a gift. So I went and bought this little box car. It flipped up. It's a funny car. It had a big motor and big pipes hanging outside. It flipped up. It's a funny car. And I really liked it. I thought it was awesome. So really, I think I was buying it for me, but I was giving it as a gift. Now, I understand that you should always get gifts if it's something that you would desire, that you would want, because it's not worth anything to them if it's not worth anything to you. But my idea was a little different. At 9, 10 years old, I decided I would go buy it. I remember going to Alco, which nobody ever heard of that anymore. I go into the store, and I go buy that. And I'm so proud to go give that to him. June 16th, it was his birthday. And I gave it to him. And I was proud that I gave something to my brother, my big brother. We were close. We had fun. We played together all the time. And I gave him this gift. I saw him look at it. He played with it a little bit. And you know how boys do. A little bit later today, I got mad at him.
Yeah.
You know as well as I do how kids play. I took my gift back. I took my gift back, and he said, "You Indian giver."
Yeah.
And I started bawling, squalling, crying, didn't know what. I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea, but I knew that it was bad.
Yeah.
I knew that it was bad. I had no idea. I don't know how many years it took me to figure out what that actually really meant. But at 19 years old, I'm sitting here bawling and squalling, thinking, "Hey, you hurt me."
Yeah.
But I took the gifts back.
Yeah.
Truth be known, I never did get back. What we sacrifice must be left on the altar. Would we take back what we have offered to God?
Come on, listen.
If we will protect our sacrifice, God will bring us great victory. 2 Samuel 23:11-12 says, "And after him was Shammah the son of Ahiah, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines." 12 says this, "But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." When the Israelites, came to David, they were much like we are, in a great need of direction, discipline, and vision. Disciples in the raw that needed somebody to believe in them, somebody to give them a purpose, and David did that. Shammah started remembering what he had been at once time in his life, where he had come from, and what he got from there. He wasn't going to let somebody or anybody steal that away, not even for a moment. What was he protecting? It looks like it was only a bean field. Mm-hmm. Come on, follow me. It looked like just a bean field, yes, but that was Shammah's bean field, just like it's your promise on the altar. God had given him so much that he wasn't going to give it up to an enemy. If you put yourself in his shoes, you can kind of feel what Shammah might have been thinking. It might not seem like much, but it was my life, and it was my future, and my relationship with God, and nobody's going to take that from me. It may seem like a bean field to everyone else, but this is the coming together of everything good that God has done for you and me. What have we sacrificed unto God? What have we put on the altar? What promises have we made? What have we done with our life? Have we protected that? Have we cast away and shooed away the ravens that have come and try to steal it away and pet the lies that come into our mind and tell us that, hey, it's too much? Or, like Shammah, the enemy will try to storm in and take back or take away, thinking you will just run away like you did every other time, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. Not this time, though. Will you be counted as one of God's mighty? Will you protect that which you sacrificed unto God? You have sacrificed, achieved, and changed, and become something for God, and that means something, doesn't it? You have sacrificed. You sacrificed time. You sacrificed prayer. You sacrificed reading your word. You sacrificed doing what he said. You sacrificed that. Have we not?
Yeah.
These are things the world will not do. There's a real danger if we don't protect our sacrifice. In Matthew 13:4, Jesus himself said, "And as he sowed, some seed falls from the wayside, and the birds come and devour them. As the ravens come down, will they devour our sacrifice? Will they come down and take what we promised unto God? Will we leave it on there and protect what we have given to God? Will we protect the time that we have promised God? Will we protect what we've given unto God? Will we protect that which we have vowed unto him?" So it's time to stand your ground. Our victories are a process of stepping stones. They are progress and growth that need to be built on. The enemy of your soul comes in and tries to steal away, like Isaac and his redeeming of the wells. You end up trading land back and forth with hell. Have you been there? Trading back and forth with hell, making deals because we have not protected it, because we have to redig and redig, and we continue to have to redig because we didn't protect what we had promised him to him. It is time to be finished with that and stand on what God has built. He promised us that he will finish. He's faithful with what he started.
He's faithful.
Amen. He's faithful. He's faithful. But he's calling us to be faithful to what we have sacrificed unto him. As a living sacrifice, not living for the world, but living for eternity, for his purpose, for his sake, for his directive. Protect your sacrifices. God is faithful to give us a victory if we won't give it or give up any territory. He will. He will give us the victory, not you or I. When God comes to fulfill his part of his covenant, what will be left of your life? What will be left? In closing, if the musicians please come, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. We're in a battle that could be won with a sweet reward, are lost with a horrifying defeat. Sweet reward or horrifying defeat. What we have sacrificed unto God is a promise. It is a vow. As Jonah said, what I have vowed unto you, what will we do? With every head bowed, I delivered what you have given, and I'm asking for your presence in this house to see through each and every part in this house right now. Have your way. Have your way. If God has spoken to your heart today about the sacrifice that you have sacrificed to him, he's been dealing with you through this service. I want to pray with you. By the uplifted hand, I'll know. Is there anyone in the house? I see your hand. Hands across the room. Anybody else? Come on. What have we sacrificed unto God? What have we sacrificed that we are not protected? Is it the time? Is it monetary? Is it our heart? Our whole heart? Is it space in our day? You may see the ravens coming to take what you have sacrificed to God. Those promises you've made. The life you wanted to live for him. A commitment to know him more. You made a promise in January that I'm going to read the word, I'm going to be closer to God this year than any year before. Have the ravens come and stole time away from you? Is that you? Anyone in the house? Have you had time stolen away from you? Because the ravens keep coming and we're not protecting what we have sacrificed unto God. Is this you? Perhaps you've been too busy, focused on other things. You want to recommit those sacrifices unto God. Would you like to? I think every one of us in the house could recommit something back to God.